Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
When everyone's on the same page, getting things done at work is easy. No matter what you do or what industry you're in, how you communicate is key. Everything you type is equally important to collaboration, and Grammarly can help. Think of it as your AI writing partner, empowering you to communicate effectively and efficiently so you can make a bigger impact in the workplace. 96% of Grammarly users say it helps them craft more impactful writing. And as the gold standard of responsible AI, Grammarly is your secure AI writing partner that allows your team to make their point and move faster. By understanding your writing and context, Grammarly provides relevant, personalized suggestions. And with tone suggestions, you can navigate even the most difficult work conversations. You can also save time from spending hours editing drafts to just seconds with one click. Sign up and download Grammarly for free at grammarly.com/podcast. That's grammarly.com/podcast. Easier said, done.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah.
You do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
High time we make a stand and shook up the views of the common man, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Football Ramble. Jim's here.
Hello.
Luke Moore's here.
All right.
And Pete Donaldson's on this love train.
Hello.
Oh, still sowing the seeds of love here at the Football Ramble.
Always. Always.
The birds and the bees.
When are we going to reap what we sow, though, Peter?
I don't know. The fall?
Some would argue that we already are. Every day of our lives.
Yes.
It's springtime. Let's have some cabbages, Mother.
Let's reap some love.
29th of January is not springtime. And it never has been.
I'm not saying it.
He said that, he said that's when it's going to happen.
Oh, in springtime.
Get with it, mate.
All right.
Unless it's a fallow year.
He knows.
He knows.
Pete knows that it's not the spring yet because we've just had the fourth round of the FA Cup.
But Pete has got a spring in his step.
I know, right? Luke's got a piece of paper that says, I know, right?
People keep complaining that I say, I know, right, a lot. And it's a vocal tick. And one thing this show's brilliant at is getting everyone who you've never met to tell you all your own faults. So I decided to write down a piece of paper, which you can see there. Listeners can't see it, but people watching our social media will be able to.
What other faults have they pointed out?
We haven't got time for that.
Yeah, I've got a list of your faults, and that's not even the top 100, mate.
We've got a meeting later. That'll do it. Do it then.
Jim, were you annoyed that you didn't get to watch Arsenal on the weekend?
No.
You were relieved.
It was nice to have a break from the drama of it. I've accepted that we're not in the FA Cup anymore.
I didn't have a break because I was at Fratton Park. Yeah, and that was anything but a refreshing break.
Yeah. We'll come on to that much, much later if there's time to squeeze it in.
You know, okay.
It's like
I hope there isn't.
Well, there will be because it's not a live radio show. It's a podcast. We can do as much as we want.
Yeah.
But we will start with the heroes of Newport County. They drew with Tottenham Hotspur, of course. They're still the lowest ranked side left in the competition because they've got that replay at Wembley because they're off to Wembley, aren't they?
What do you think about Rodney Parade?
I like the name of the ground.
I like the name of it. I don't know if I like the ground itself.
Well, they share it with two rugby teams. And,
they do.
And the pitch would testify to that.
Yeah. And it's got one thing I would say about it in its favour is it's got decent floodlights.
Yeah.
Which is much needed.
We were talking about floodlights last week, wasn't
we? Were,
and we were. It's a professional club. Of course, they've got good floodlights.
No, but I mean, we talked about
aesthetically.
I see.
We talked about the lights being part of the stadium on these new stadiums now, and not proper floodlights.
Oh,
you were there.
Yeah.
You heard the whole damn thing.
I switched off.
That's fair. They weren't. And as I was approaching Fratton Park this weekend, I thought, oh, there's a bloody floodlight. Lovely. That's where the stadium is.
A standalone floodlight.
Yeah.
We also talked about people watching from sort of strange vantage points. And at Newport County, there was a picture doing the round of someone who'd put a traffic cone on a wheelie bin and was balanced on the cone, looking over a fence.
I mean, you bring yourself a little seat or something because that is precarious.
If you're behind one of the goals at Rodney Parade, you are looking at it from a weird vantage point because if you're right at the back of that stand, you must be, I mean, I haven't done the maths, but you probably are about 14 miles away from this pitch. It's worse than the Olympic Stadium.
That young fan on the traffic cone, he should take a leaf out of Peter Reid's book and at least use a tyre for a seat.
Exactly.
Yeah, quite.
It would be a much better idea.
Harder to stand on, though.
But at half-time he could then peel a banana with his feet.
You don't see a lot of tyres in the street nowadays, do you?
No. It depends where you go, I suppose.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I went for a run yesterday and I saw a single solitary Wellington boot on the pavement.
Nice. Oh.
Someone went, I'm going to get half soggy socks.
Yeah. Yeah, I need one.
Rodney Parade is 140 years old. It's one of the oldest stadiums that's been continuously used throughout the ages.
I think the word stadium's a bit rich.
They're getting pelters. Absolute pelters. Yeah.
We're doing a lot on Rodney Parade today. It's always the plan.
Who was Rodney and what was he parading? But yeah, it was a draw, though. The game was a draw. I'd take Newport. They held the lead for a long time.
There was a fascinating piece in the paper today about the away scouting, the studying Newport had done about Spurs and their players and their strengths and weaknesses. I found it fascinating to watch.
Yeah.
And an ex-pro said to me today, when you're a top pro and you go to an away game in the cup against a lower league opposition, you get two types of reception from the other players. You get they're blatantly sidling up to us because they want to swap shirts at full time type. Let's have a lovely day out. Let's give ourselves a selfie type approach. Or you get the, you're in my house now, big boy, and you are having a difficult afternoon.
Yeah.
And Josh Labadie made sure it was the latter for Newport County. He paid them absolutely no respect
at all.
He
was everywhere.
He piled in on Harry Kane.
Yeah.
I don't care if it's a World Cup year.
Yeah,
what he
I know.
Said. You are on the end of one of these.
I was a little bit worried, I have to say.
Yeah.
If there's one man who can get us through that group stage, it's Harry Kane. Leave him alone. But you're a Welsh side, you don't care.
Unfortunately.
Cardiff piled in a few Man City players.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, my goodness.
But when he piled in on Harry Kane, you know, sadly these days, players put their hands over their mouths when they speak, don't they? And when Josh Labadie put his first one in on Harry Kane, I like to think he was saying, oh, get used to it, big boy. ain't the last one. Ain't the last you're going to see of me today. Yeah.
Yeah. It was a lovely header that put them 1-0 up. Padre Gammond.
It was very, very.
Well,
nice.
Apparently they targeted Michel Vorm, didn't they? Saying that he's not comfortable coming for crosses, uh-huh. And that, you know, basically how it panned out. And also one paced Eric Dier was another one that they targeted as well. So just, you know, digs in the press afterwards as well.
I like that.
Fancying it.
Leak
at Wembley.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, shit him up before Wembley. We're coming back harder.
Yeah, I'd love it if Pochettino dropped Dara and went, oh, we're not playing him. Who are you going to target now? Oh, yeah, you haven't got your best side out then. And Pochettino was very disappointed with his team, saying that they showed no desire to reach the next round of the Cup.
Yeah, I think that's right. I think he was visibly disappointed, and he was right to be so. Kane bailed them out. Inexplicable, odd defending for that corner that Kane was able to score.
I think concentration just like let them down late on, didn't it?
They're probably tired.
You've got to be exhausted after a game like that against Premier League opposition.
And we saw this, maybe we'll come on to this a bit later if there's time, but we saw this with Wigan playing West Ham. The Wigan went into that game against West Ham actually favourites because they're so confident, because they're flying at the top of the league. And you called it, Marcus, rightly so. It was a bit of an upset. But in Wigan's case, this is a team that are used to winning. They're so confident. Mm. Newport aren't really used to winning.
No.
So I wonder if there was a bit of complacency from Spurs. I thought the young lad Force at the back played well. That's the second time I've seen him play well. He played well in the Champions League game. He played as well. I think it was against. Did they play Apoel?
Possibly, and
he featured in that and looked pretty good, although the opposition weren't up to much. Other than that, I thought Dembele did okay. And obviously, Kane got the important goal, but it was a really below-par performance, a very flat performance. And at half-time, you really feared for Spurs, because Newport had already beaten Leeds in the Cup, don't forget.
Yeah, I didn't fear for Spurs. I was very happy for Newport, I think, as a neutral. You know. But Mike Flynn, the manager, said he was gutted to concede so late on. But they do have a lucrative replay, gentlemen.
And there is an argument here that, sadly, in today's game, in today's day and age, it's better for them to have a replay than it is to win that game.
Yeah.
Because they could have just got next round, could have won that game. Brilliant. Win for them.
They could get the winner of like Millwall v Rochdale.
Yeah,
or
Coventry at home or something, and they get beaten or whatever. Playing away at Wembley, there'll be a huge boom for them.
It's great. Pete, there was a drone scene in the sky flying high. Were you anything to do with it?
You're the drone correspondent.
I love being a drone correspondent. I've flown one drone once.
Yeah, but it's one more than
seconds.
Any of
Didn't
us.
Didn't you crash it as well?
My dad crashed it.
Yeah.
And we had to glue it back together.
And it was one of Pete's famous friends, their drones as well. Yeah. So was it even more awkward?
A famous drone.
Yeah.
My dad said he didn't want to be a sad bloke by himself on a heath in Hartlepool.
So he made you go with him.
So he made me acquire a drone, fly it with me.
And you were two sad blokes on the heath.
Crashing a drone.
I think we've come, from my memory, we have come to you. This is at least the third time we've come to you because there's been a drone spotted at the game. It's a tradition. It's a ramble tradition.
Exactly, yeah.
Get it in your Twitter bio.
But it is illegal to fly them above a football ground, though.
Yeah, it is. Shouldn't be done.
Did they catch the culprit?
I don't think so.
Don't know yet.
Did you see the kid asking for Harry Kane's shirt with a sign? Because this happened to Eden Hazard last weekend, didn't it? I think, who's going to be the first player to go, no, enough's enough?
Well,
you're not having my shirt, son.
I think it happened before that, because I think a Yeovil Town kid had a sign for Alexis Sanchez's shirt.
Really?
And he was roundly ignored as well. Although we can be fair and say maybe Alexis didn't see him. But it happened at that game too.
I think it just speaks volumes about the character of the man.
Well, in case he doesn't see his teammates when it comes to passing.
Yeah. He's all about himself. West Brom provided one of the shocks of the round. Wes Brown turned up and...
It's been a thing in the fixture list. We're actually playing Wes Brown on his own.
And he bloody won. And Liverpool missed a penalty. Alan Pardew ensured that Liverpool's 19-game unbeaten home run came to an end.
They played their part.
When Pardew turns his attention to it, he can sometimes get an okay result.
The bounce has come. He's getting a bit older. It takes a bit longer
to
get the bounce up.
There are tablets for that.
The bounce has come, Jim. Is the wiggle going to come?
Is
he going to get to Wembley?
Well, he's on track.
He is very much on track. It's a huge scalp. Jay Rodriguez. It's good to see Rodriguez playing well. He obviously had that terrible injury and ended up leaving Southampton. But he was a real prospect.
Well, he just started playing for England, hadn't he? It was really terrible timing.
Yeah, he was in the England conversation. And actually, at the risk of maybe... But perhaps it isn't that ridiculous because, as you just said, Jim, he's already featured. We talk about plan Bs and different options for England. And we normally talk about Andy Carroll, or these days, I know, Marcus, you're in his camp, but Peter Crouch. You're still in his camp now.
Does he still have a camp?
Only one left. Yeah, you're the only one left. Okay. You're on the gate of his camp.
Crouchy's got his camp oars.
Yeah. What about Jay Rodriguez?
What about him,
he's
Peter?
He's a busy bastard.
He is a very busy bastard. And that first goal, Pete, what a smasher.
It was a smasher. It's not a classic FA Cup goal. but it was an enjoyable one.
Because it was too close. Mm. Too close in. But
I don't know. Firmino scored a lovely
hell
one
of a
well.
Bend on it. When you see the angle from, you know, sort of facing down the pitch, the bend from the outside of his boot was brilliant.
Yeah. I mean, the first couple of goals in that game, Firmino's chip and then Rodriguez saying, well, you could, that's one way of putting the ball in the net. Lovely. Here's one, another way.
Johnny Evans scuppering that move.
Why are only some fixtures VAR this weekend? I'm confused.
Oh. I suppose it's a soft launch, isn't it?
No. Well, it was a big launch at Anfield. That wasn't a soft launch.
Yeah, it was
a hard launch.
They used it a lot, didn't they?
I think it was 8 times that the referee called on VAR. Mm. It was causing all sorts of confusion at Anfield.
And I think this might be something that's not been considered, and maybe we haven't mentioned it on here either, is that, as we all know, in stadiums where there is the capability to show incidents on the big screen, they never show controversial ones.
No, and there's an obvious reason for that.
But now people are saying, well, if you just show us what's happening, we know what's going on, and it won't be as odd for us when VAR is being used in the stadium, because we have to sit here for 3, 4, 5 minutes. There's no running commentary, there's no video, no one knows what's happening. But I mean, imagine for 1 second if something was a controversial incident or it was overturned, it would be chaos.
Chaos. You can't show it.
Does VAR kind of disrupt the flow of a quite intense team like Liverpool?
Well, that's what people were arguing.
Well, Alan Pardew also as well said that they got a couple of hamstring injuries, and his reasoning for that was, you know, if you in a game like this, you actually kind of need to keep moving. You need to keep the intensity up. If you take a break, it does disrupt the rhythm of your body, I suppose. And I mean, I don't know how much truth there is in that. But
I thought he was. I heard him say that as well. I thought he was reaching, because I mean, this VAR is new. Long stoppages in games aren't new. Mm. You know, if someone gets a bad injury or there's an incident in the crowd, whatever, it can happen. And the players have to keep themselves warm, keep themselves limber, I suppose. I thought Pardew was reaching to be a bit cheeky there. I think if he had said that and Liverpool had lost the game, I think he'd have been a laughing stock. And people would have been like, come on, mate. Mm. You know, get on with it.
But Robson Kanu, the way he kind of made the little box with his hand, didn't he? The sort of signal for VAR when he went down. That suggested, I mean, he may have been suddenly playing charades, but that may have suggested that he was saying, because of that, I've pulled up with an injury here. So if he said that, then Pardew's just relaying the information.
Maybe.
He doesn't have to.
He's going, I'm in the box.
But how can he? He can't know that, though, can he?
My hamstring is telling me.
I didn't see him do that. That is quite funny.
Yeah.
I'd love to see players give an instant reason why they're getting injured in a charades-type fashion.
Yeah. Well, maybe he's trying to get a message over to the bench and he was down and he couldn't do it. So he's going, no, 2 syllables. It's a little word.
What's David Booth doing?
Yeah.
What's he describing?
but West Brom, they won the game, and it was a great win. They're now unbeaten in 4, having won 3 of them. They might lose Johnny Evans in the window at the time of recording, that hasn't happened, but they might gain Troy Deeney at the time of recording, that hasn't happened. Movements, Jim. Movements in the window for West Brom.
And also, I don't want to take anything away from West Brom, and I think they do need to make moves because they need to score goals, as we know. Liverpool have been so disappointing these last 2 games. Mm. And I don't know what the reasoning behind... I know he wants to manage his squad and keep legs fresh and stuff, but I don't know what the reasoning behind playing Moreno, playing Alexander-Arnold, who had a poor game, playing Mignolet. I mean, 3 of that back 5 aren't Jurgen Klopp's stated first choice defenders.
But do you think he's giving people a rest over a very busy Christmas period?
Yeah, he may well be doing that, but they struggled really badly in January last year. And if you are going to give players a rest, I mean, the FA Cup... It could be big for Liverpool. But they're not going to win anything else, realistically.
It's a third successive fourth round exit.
That's right. Yeah.
Which is, you know, I mean, that's a bit of a disaster, really, because, you know, Klopp wants to define his era by winning something. And
Klopp said, like I said on more than one occasion, he loves the FA Cup. Yeah. It's like, he doesn't love it that much.
No, that's right. And that's the sort of thing he would say, because he's quite sort of all about the passion for the game. But Marcus, on the resting players point, I mean, that was only their third game in 2 weeks.
But you have to the run they went on before that, and you know how he likes to get his players to press and so on. They've been on an incredible run, and all the way up to the Man City game, you know, they were winning, they were scoring. They beat Manchester City. Since then, a 1-0 loss to Swansea and then a 3-2 home loss in the cup against West Brom. There has been a slight drop off. You know, they're not going to win the league. Manchester City are going to win the league. Everybody knows that. So when they beat Man City, it does a little bit of inertia set, and you think, we've done that. That's perhaps as good as it's going to get. They've got the Champions League to think about next month.
I thought,
I don't know, psychologically that can creep in, but I think it is a shame because, as somebody, one of you lovely chaps just said, that realistically the FA Cup is Jurgen Klopp or Antonio Conte or even Jose Mourinho's best chance at silverware this season.
Yeah.
And that is absolutely true. I just thought they were unbelievably complacent against Swansea.
They were.
I watched the West Brom game with a Liverpool supporting friend of mine at the weekend, and he said the problem with Swansea is they just thought they could turn up.
That's my point. After the Man City game, you play hard, you win that game, you score four goals against this side who weren't beaten in the league at all. And then you just sort of think, oh, we've beaten them. Oh, we've just got Swansea next. That's great.
We'll batter them. But yeah. Klopp said himself after the Man City game, there was no sign of this in training. They're all very serious people that work very hard. There was no sign of that complacency. So as a manager, I guess that's if things appear to be as normal from training, it's a difficult thing to address. It is literally your job at the same time.
Yeah, they looked a lot better when Henderson and Milner came on. They looked like they might. When they were 3-1 down, I thought if they score here, they'll probably score another one. Mm. And I was even though Jermaine Gini said he wasn't surprised they didn't score another one, I actually was. Because I thought the momentum's with them now. They create chances. Henderson and Milner are cool heads who can use the ball properly. I think they've got a good chance here now of getting a replay and just putting it down to a bad day at the office. Of course, West Brom deserve credit for keeping them out. And Gareth Barry was absolutely fantastic, by the way. West Brom were really good.
You got to love Gareth Barry still putting in performances like that.
I think it's almost 650 Premier League games.
And a similar amount of yellow cards.
Yeah. I know, yeah, exactly. I think he'll go on to play even more, obviously. He's 37 next month.
Yeah, what do you think of Johnny Evans? Obviously, he's a decent centre-half. And Man City have been linked with him in an Arsenal. Now, whether he goes or not, big clubs, a lot bigger than West Brom, are still sniffing around.
Yeah, well, I mean, he's a very, very experienced, Premier League centre half. He's had experience of winning things at Man United. I think, I think Johnny Evans and a lot of players from that era suffered from being like almost Ferguson's second crop of youngsters. And obviously, they were never going to live up to the class of 92. And Johnny Evans is way better than a lot of people, would have given him credit for at the time. And I think, if you're paying £75 million for Virgil van Dijk, for example, a player like Johnny Evans in this market offers you a pretty solid, safe bet, doesn't he? So I think it makes sense these sort of teams are looking at
it. It's indicative of the fact that over the last 10 years, I think, all the game has produced is attacking midfielders. We get surprised by people like Harry Kane and put the ball in the net 9 times out of 10.
If you're
we get surprised at people like Van Dijk, who's like, oh, you're actually quite a good centre half. Mm. So they are worth their weight in gold to a certain extent. And there's a reason why we need more experienced centre halves who've played in the Premier League, which is a very different intensity to anywhere else in Europe, possibly even the world. And that's why they're going for something money.
If you are a centre half, get over to the Premier League. It's a bit like years ago, if you were a plumber, get yourself out to Australia. Pay $8 over there. There's loads of work if you're a winger at the moment.
I think it's that every day that goes past, it's more and more baffling that United let Evans go.
Yeah.
I mean, he's better than... feel free to
but
laugh.
But to West Brom, I think that's my point. No disrespect to West Brom, but with these bigger clubs sniffing around him, you wonder why... Did Ferguson... Was it Ferguson who sold him? I can't remember who it was.
Would they sell to a rival?
Well, maybe that's it. Maybe the manager said, you should go at this
club. He shouldn't have been let go at all. I mean, for me... And feel free to laugh me out of the room. Uh-huh. He's better than Jones and Smalling.
Yeah.
He's better than them. And he's only just 30. He turned 30 like 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's not that old for a centre-back.
Yeah.
You look at West Ham. They signed Jose Font for $8 million. He's 36.
Yeah, well, look at Mangala coming into City for something like $40
million. Yeah.
You know, I mean, with Evans, you know what you're going to get in a way that is very
rare.
Straight
in there.
I think it would be a good signing for Arsenal if they can get him. Mm. But they probably won't.
Who? City, you mean? Not Arsenal.
Arsenal are in.
Well, yeah, but both
Arsenal want Evans as well.
Both have been linked.
Well, okay.
Well, apparently, though, if Arsenal sign Aubameyang, there will be no money left over for anyone else. That had to sneak out. They're like a shit dad on a holiday. Enjoy that ice cream because it's back to school next week.
But I think with Laporte going to Man City, by the looks of it, they probably won't have room for Evans. So there we are. Wigan caused an upset, and it was an upset.
Apparently, I don't people care if it wasn't.
People were saying, they were favourites for the game. They're two leagues below West Ham. They may be in the same division next season, but they are two leagues below West Ham. I found that funny, actually, that the bookies had them down as the favourites. Well, it's not that funny because they were right. But it's still, it has to be an upset, does it not?
Of course, I completely agree. Yeah,
I agree with you in principle. Yeah, absolutely. I wasn't hugely surprised when Wigan beat them. I think West Ham, I don't really know if they knew what how they were trying to approach that game. And obviously, Masuaku didn't do any didn't do any favours.
Despicable, David Moyes said. It's the one thing that we hate the most in this country. You can two-foot someone to the back of the head and give them, you know, life-threatening injuries, and you think, well, yeah, at least he's committed. Or if you spit at someone. Yeah. Oh, Pete Donaldson.
Just because you've been playing well doesn't mean you might not get a slap.
It's just...
he hasn't, I don't know if he has been playing that well.
Despicable.
Nice little jig, Pete.
There you go. Excuse me. Into the party shuffle.
Very, very sad to hear about David Sullivan and David Gold being confronted outside the ground.
Yeah, they were angry West Ham fans, not happy that the club have only signed one player in the window, João Mário. Not a bad acquisition.
On loan, though, on loan.
On loan, but with a chance to buy in the summer.
Yeah, put that in there. Season ticket renewals are coming up, put that in there. Well, he's not signing for them permanently, and I'll put some money on that.
Yeah, well, West Ham made a £15 million bid for Fulham's Tom Kearney. Fulham told West Ham not to bother, and a £40 million bid wouldn't even be considered.
It would be considered. It would very much be considered and accepted.
So he's 40 million then. That's what you
I wonder if I'm starting to think West Ham's recruitment policy might not be that good.
They bought enough players in the summer, for crying out loud.
They do like to buy a lot of players, don't they? Yeah, but
They didn't buy that. I mean, they bought Zabaleta, not an improving player. Joe Hart, not very good.
I don't think Joe Hart
wasn't a bad signing.
And Nautovic, he can't even get in the team.
Are you saying that Zabaleta wasn't a step up what they already had?
Well, I think there's an understanding now, and it is hindsight.
Chicharito was a good signing.
Was he, though?
Well, he hasn't proven to be that way,
but I was...
Okay, look,
so excited at the idea of him being back in the Premier League.
Yeah, but that's fine. You're a little tired to that.
Scott Parker.
You can't look back on signings and go... That was a good signing, but it patently has turned out to not be very good.
I think the point is that you get in someone like Chicharito, who's been banging the goals in for Bayer Leverkusen, and he has previous for scoring goals in the Premier League, then on paper at the time, that was a decent signing.
Don't play him. Play to his strengths. Put him in the six-yard box. Don't have him trying to hold the ball for other players, which is what he's been doing, and that's why he's been failing.
You can imagine him getting a load of goals for a better team.
Look, when Manchester United signed Angel Di Maria, it was a good signing because he was an excellent player. Now, he's obviously gone on and is doing all right at PSG, as far as I'm aware, but it didn't quite work out. So I know what you mean.
I sort of look at how, like, you guys have got quite strong wingers, we're quite pacey. At the weekend, Newcastle just couldn't put the ball away. Like, they had three or four chances.
So Chicharito
probably would have put those.
Yeah, they were all over Chelsea, weren't they?
Chelsea nicked it.
Yeah.
Robbed it, mate.
Another player, Arnautovic, very, very inconsistent. Has proven himself to have struggled to get motivated.
Injured.
He is, but he still
Moyes has motivated him, though.
But Arnautovic has never, to my knowledge, watching him play, he's never been consistently good.
Yeah. True, but Moyes has been getting
the problem with Bilic is, I think he just sort of went, I could get something out of these players. If I can't, nobody can. It's like, but he's the not angle very good at a manager, right?
This is a man who said, yeah, I believe in myself and all that, you know.
the angle on West Ham signs might well be that it's hard for them to sign good quality players because if a player's that good, he's not going to go to West Ham. So what they need to do is they need to gamble, which they have done. And if we can't agree on how Hernandez has turned out or looking back on it in hindsight, we can hopefully at least agree it was a gamble.
Yeah.
Because of his age and because of all that stuff. And a lot of us were saying in the summer, that's a steal for 16 million.
Yeah.
But clearly he looks a yard off. He has looked a yard off all season. What I'm trying to say is, it's not about our opinion. We're talking about West Ham's recruitment policy. It needs to be better. There's no excuse for a club with that sort of resource, with that sort of huge stadium, to not have someone who's better and more diligent when it comes to making signings and bringing players in. And I think that's why West Ham fans are annoyed. And with respect to West Ham, João Mário is not going to West Ham on loan if he's doing brilliantly at Inter. Mm. And he's not getting in the team. And no one else wants him. That's why he's there on a loan move.
I agree with you. He is a decent player, though. But again, it's another gamble. The bidding for Tom Kearney. Tom Kearney is a fantastic player. You know, I'm always quite surprised.
He's the sort of player they should be going after.
Yeah, that Fulham have managed to keep hold of him for a little while. And he is kind of like Mr. Fulham. You know, he loves playing at that club and so on. But you can't blame him if a bigger club, a Premier League club, come along and offer him all that. But you do wonder. I mean, the two Davids did reassure the fans that they're looking to bring in more players. But there's only days left. And Is this going to, are panic buys going to suddenly start to appear and more money than that you would have paid maybe a few weeks ago?
Well, I think actually the opposite might even be true. I think we're gonna see panic buying the likes of which we've never seen before as the market tries to sort of adjust to itself because we're still in this weird situation of everything being so inflated that people don't really understand what value is at the moment. So I think people will be trying to sort of test teams' resolve.
I think with West Ham, could well see that.
Sign Will Grigg.
I think in the last 18 months you could probably make an argument only one of their signs has been any good, and that's Lanzini. That's the only player you can think of that's been unquestionably good that they've brought in, and that's just not good enough. I mean, they brought in a lot of players in terms of numbers. We all know the stat. We laughed about it a few months ago about the amount of strikers and how many goals they brought in. It's something like 35 strikers or something. So their recruitment needs to be better. Wigan were decent. I thought West Ham made them look good. And Nick Powell was very good.
I suppose when we say it was an upset, it was an upset on paper, but it was the most underwhelming upset because everyone knew it was going to be an upset.
Well, you called it, Marcus. You called it on Thursday.
Yeah. I think a lot of people did that. I think some people were saying
you're the best, though.
Thanks.
You're the strongest.
Yeah, I predicted every single other result as well, but nobody ever gives me credit for that. But what was nice to see was Nick Powell impressing for Wigan. And this is a player that some of us will remember was playing for Manchester United, or wasn't really playing for Manchester United. They signed him from Crewe, of course. And then he went on loan to a number of places, Wigan included. And you forget about a player like that, or one can forget about a player like that. And then when you see him playing for a side who are top of League One, they surely get promoted, you would imagine. And they're doing well in the FA Cup. And you think, it's so nice to see a young player, who's still, I think, only 23, getting minutes and looking like he's enjoying his football.
And I think it would have been a big challenge for him coming from Crewe. I think he moved when he was about 18. And he had already played a lot of league games for Crewe.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, he's nowhere near the first team consistently at United. It's a big change for him. It was initially a loan move to Wigan, wasn't it?
Yeah.
That he made permanent.
And then he went to, I think, was it Leicester?
I think that's right.
He went to Leicester and then Hull.
He's still only 23 now, so he's got a big future ahead of him. And I don't know what Wigan are going to do in the Championship next season. I'm absolutely convinced they'll be promoted, but I don't know what they'll do in the Championship next season. But it'd be fascinating to see if Powell can consistently perform in the Championship, and then people will start looking at him more closely, and it may get another chance to go up to the top line.
Yeah, well, Alex Ferguson always said, didn't he, that he advised players if they had the option to leave Man United and it was to go to another big club where they aren't likely to play, or to go to a smaller club where they're likely to get more minutes. He always said, actually, it's still better to go to that big club because you will learn more, particularly for younger players. And that it could well, you know, stand him in good stead the time he had at United, even further down the line.
I'm sure he learnt a lot from it, yeah.
Yeah, more power to him. Let's go for a break, and then afterwards we've got some correspondence and more FA Cup action.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.com/ramble.
If I had 99 more England caps, I'd have had 100.
Over to you, Pete Donaldson.
All right, then. Over to Liam, who says cheers at the end of his email. Cheers to you, Liam, for getting involved.
A lot of people do that these days.
I mean, it's part of the common vernacular.
Isn't it? Is, yeah.
Why have you started with the end?
Yeah. I know, right? Right, hi all. Really enjoyed the discussion on the old Leeds badges / shirts this week. At one point, it was mentioned that Leeds was sponsored by Topman. That was a kit that I remembered very well. Not from when it was used, which I think was from the late 80s to early 90s, but from much later, basically. In 1995, I was in Salisbury train station waiting for a girl. She stood me up. When
I love still that. Waiting.
A little bit of ennui in there. When a load of Japanese tourists turned up and started queuing for the Stonehenge bus. Nearly half of these Japanese people were wearing the above-mentioned Leeds Top Man kit. Mostly young girls. I tried to figure out what was going on. Obviously, my first thought was, like, a youth team in Japan had appropriated a five-year-old Leeds kit. The mystery went unsolved for years until I was at uni when my brand new Japanese housemate came downstairs wearing a now nine-year-old Leeds shirt with Topman on the front. I had a flashback to that train station. I asked him if he was a Leeds fan and he just looked confused. I pointed at the top and said he ought to be wary of wearing that around town as Leeds because they'd infamously smashed up the place in the 80s and people still hadn't forgiven them. He still looked confused. Slowly he pointed at the top and said, "Blur." English wasn't fluent and my Japanese was non-existent, so we struggled to understand what either was saying until he went and got his mini disc player out and played me the Blur song Top Man.
Turns out
some bright spark had imported loads of old Leeds kits to Japan and sold them as Blur t-shirts.
Nice.
That is brilliant.
Entrepreneurial. Yeah.
I love the thought of hundreds of Japanese Britpop fans showing up to a Blur gig in Japan dressed like late 80s hoolies.
That's brilliant.
That's amazing, though. Yeah.
P.S. I think both Gary Speed, Vinnie Jones and Kieran Dyer were all models for Top Man during their Leeds days. Not Lee Bowyer, though.
That's ironic. Yeah.
I have no idea why I have so much Leeds / Top Man knowledge.
Well, we're pleased you do.
Yeah.
We are pleased you do.
Great. Mystery solved.
Yeah. Matt from Knutsford, Cheshire. Hello, Matt. I was listening to last Monday's show. I was surprised to hear of Jim's irrational dislike of this fine Argentinian footballer and all-round exceptional human being, obviously Carlos Tevez. I'm hoping this story about Carlos Tevez being a man of the people during his time in the Northwest will change Jim's opinion. One morning, a brand new mobility car pulled into the car park of Titherington Golf Club near Macclesfield. Out stepped two young men in sportswear and large woolly hats. It wasn't that cold. They walked into the pro shop and the less surly of the pair, who clearly spoke the best English, booked in the two of them for golf and was informed of the green fee. He turned to his friend and confirmed the price in Spanish, at which point the friend produced a massive roll of £50 notes, tore off three and handed them over. They proceeded to go back outside to the car park and then used the electronic boot opening function of their mobility car. The reason for the mobility car then became apparent when two remote-controlled electric golf trolleys, fully assembled with golf bags already attached, descended the ramp and joined them on the way to the first tee.
That is quite funny.
He was being paid 100 grand a week to not play for Man City at the time. The realisation that he'd brought a mobility car just to transport his golf clubs and trolleys without having to fold them away each time brought a real warmth to my heart. I hope it does the same for Jim. Yeah. Imagine just opening the back of a car and a load of golf buggies just come out.
Just come out.
Like short circuit running off the production line.
Egg on your face. Credit where it's due.
Yeah, what a good Samaritan. I was expecting that to be some sort of heartwarming tale, but no, I'm staunch in my opinion.
He's not working hard, he's working smart.
You thought that was going to be like an existential drama for you. Yeah. What are we going to do? I'll stick to my guns or not? Yeah.
What I absolutely love about Tevez is he's obviously now back at Boca Juniors and he's played once, maybe
from his
twice.
Holiday.
Yeah, exactly. He's played once or twice for them
back
already.
Back glory.
And he said, he said that he felt alive again and he was loving making his third debut for them and all this kind of talk. And he is the man of the people, isn't he, in Argentina? All this kind of stuff. And you think the man of the people left the club that he apparently absolutely adores and loves to go to China to make an enormous amount of money and not even bother trying to get it. And then he's back and go, "Oh, God, it was awful over there. Yeah. I'm so glad to be back, you know, man of the people."
Are you going
to
rob the rich and give to the poor back in Argentina? Am I what?
Is there still poor among us?
Are you going to rob the rich? Yes.
Yeah, I'm a man of the people. I deserve everything. So there we are. Right then, back to the FA Cup. Manchester United, they weren't troubled much by Yeovil. were they really?
Yeah. It was a pretty professional job by United.
It was a very professional job, although straight from the off, Francois Zocco, the captain for Yeovil, got booked inside 60 seconds, or maybe even more, and I thought, oh, they're up for it.
Let them know you're there. What was a shame? It was a professional job by United, but what was a shame was that the first goal, they gave it away.
That's the last thing you want. As a neutral watching that game.
What is the last thing you were told by the weasel before you went on the pitch against Man United?
Don't concede a sloppy one just before half-time.
Yeah.
It's gutting when the bigger team scores, especially just before half-time, everybody just goes,
Do you also think? Do you also think that, given the criticism that's levelled at Romelu Lukaku from time to time, the last thing he wants to be doing is scoring the fourth in a 4-0 win against Yeovil? I told you, that's the sort of goal he scores.
It was a sweet volley, though, wasn't it? Nice, he had a lot more to do than it appeared at first.
It was a nice goal, yeah.
The Yeovil fans were booing Alexis Sanchez. That was interesting.
Just getting involved, Jim. I think they all listen to the Football Ramble. Yeah.
Is it because
fans of yours?
Is it because Yeovil were one of the shortlisted clubs that are in for him?
Yeah.
I think barked at his wages. Barked at them. He did.
Yeah, let's try and pick off the you know, the weakest member of the herd here or something like that. He's only just put the shirt on. Let's try and unsettle him. It obviously didn't
Martin
work.
Keown was exasperating in that game, wasn't he?
He did wear his heart too much on his sleeve.
It was exasperating to listen to.
Yeah, it reminded me of Alan Green when Gareth Barry moved from Villa to Man City and he was going through the England lineup. I think they were away in Kazakhstan. And he went, whoever it was, I can't quite remember, you know, Scott Parker, blah, 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 blah. Gareth Barry, money, 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 and all the rest
did
of it.
Did he?
Yeah, and it's kind of like,
what are you doing?
Yeah. What, he's increased his wages? Yeah.
I mean, Gareth Barry's not turned out to be a good quality pro, has he?
Yeah, just a mercenary. Yeah,
mercenary, stuck around for 650 Premier League games.
Carlos Tevez of England.
Yeah. Moved to a better club. Won a championship.
Yeah.
Damn you, Barry.
Yeah.
And Sanchez, maybe not a championship, but has he moved? I mean, he's moved to a giant club, according to Jose Mourinho. Mm.
Well, he has. I mean, one of the things that was fascinating about this whole debacle, if you like, or this transfer.
Saga, I'd use the word.
It was almost forgotten that Man United are a massive club.
Yeah, that's right.
It's like, well, obviously, he's going to go to Man City. It's a no-brainer. Look at the team. Look at the football they're playing. Look how good they are. Look at Guardiola. And it's like, okay, Mourinho's not been without his problems, but Man United are still arguably the biggest team in the entire world.
And also,
it's not a huge surprise he's going to Man United.
Yeah, I mean, basically what they've done here is paid, well, not necessarily paid over the odds, but just sort of like, you know, paid over the odds in terms of wages now rather than not get him at all in the summer.
Martin Keown did a bit of, because he kept saying, well, I'm exasperated that he didn't go to Man City. Mm. Why didn't he go to Manchester City? And you think, what do you care? What are you saying, Martin? You're like, it's like the one of the nasty boys in your school is going up to you and threatening, and you're going, yeah, but you couldn't beat up him over there, could you? Mm. Well, I'm not interested in him. I'm trying to take your money.
I think Martin Keown might have been one of those nasty boys.
Why didn't Martin Keown go to Man United in the 90s? Like, why didn't he do that?
Yeah, that's true.
Well, ask him. I guarantee you the answer. I don't know what the answer will be, but it'll be fucking boring.
He was giving it the big one on the Chelsea Newcastle Comedy on 5 Live on Sunday. He was going. I'm not the sort of person to talk about all of the medals I've won. The FA Cup, the Premier League. Like, you're literally doing that, Martin.
Yeah.
I love that. It was good to see Michael Carrick in that Man United side.
Yeah, because he's going to retire at the end of the season.
Yeah,
it's only
the second time this season that he's been in there.
Another tremendous pro, amazing servant to the Premier League.
I know. I hope we see him a little bit more, because as you say, I think he is retiring at the end of the season.
And we've said this before, but it bears repeating, that Michael Carrick is the type of player that perhaps in another country would be a lot more respected than he is.
And you quite rightly often make that point. Luke, would it be far-fetched to think that Michael Carrick's last game of professional football could be the World Cup final?
I think it might be far-fetched, yeah.
On a number of levels?
I'll get back to you by the end of the show, but at the moment, I'll just let you know the position I'm at the moment, where I'm sitting right now, I would say, just tentatively, that is a little bit far-fetched. But to confirm, I will get back to you towards the end. No, hang on, I've just got it. Yeah, it's fucking ridiculous.
Do you know what?
The swingometer is very much in one direction on that one.
I was watching the highlights of Match of the Day, and it was Newport versus Spurs, and Harry Kane scored, and I said to my wife, I said, see that man Harry Kane, he's going to win us the World Cup, and she said, oh, you've got your hopes back then.
And have you?
Well, we'll see, won't we?
Yeah, it depends on big Michael Carrick by the sound of it.
It's even worse than I thought.
It is. It really is. Speaking of great pros in the game, we've got to talk about Notts County. Second in League 2. They're still in the hat as well. 1-1 draw against Swansea, against Premier League side. Not to be sniffed at. Kevin Nolan. Yeah. Kevin Nolan, full of praise for his players. They had a few near misses, of course. They really did throw the kitchen sink at Swansea in that second half. Well, Swansea had the better of it in the first half, but still will be disappointed that they didn't win that game. For Swansea, I mean, They're down the bottom of the Premier League. You don't want to have a replay against the League Two side.
John Stead and Shola Amiobi terrorising you in 2018.
A combined age of 70. Oof, Stead is 34. I was surprised because I still sort of think Stead is a bit of a prospect in my head.
Yeah.
34 and Amiobi's 36. A veteran strike force. I mean, Nolan himself is 35. Get him in behind them.
He's player manager as well.
I just can't. For some reason, I always think that Kevin Nolan's older than every other player on the field. It's really weird.
Kevin does that chicken, and then you go, oh, he's like a sprightly little spring chicken.
Kevin Nolan was one of those players, and I'm sure he could do it at a certain level now. Is again, you look at his attributes, obviously quite a big guy, sort of fairly robust, you know, decent in the air, but just so effective.
Yeah. So get him in that 18-yard box, he'll put something away.
Exactly. Has that kind of. Just that presence, that kind of mindset, that it's just effective is the word.
I find it curious that Shola Amiobi, Kevin Nolan and John Stead are all roughly the same age.
Mm. And yeah, I do as well. Nolan should be a lot older than
they
John.
They inhabit
different parts of your brain.
Yeah.
I reckon Kevin Nolan just said to Shola and Shola said to Kevin Nolan, lads, it's Sunderland.
Yeah. it's like one of those optical illusions, right?
I think
if you really, really stare, you can see the chicken.
Yeah. John Stead got the goal, as he tends to do in the FA Cup. Mm. We've seen him score many, many goals in that tournament. Shola Amiobi, though, the hold-up play was great stuff. He was heavily involved. He didn't quite get the assist, but he was still heavily involved, and that's what we want to beat the drum for. Shola Amiobi, being involved in a goal is a wonderful thing.
I'd love that to be an Opta stat.
I want to be a hold-up.
How heavily
man.
Involved
touches,
were you?
Touches, passes, key passes, assists, goals. Heavily involved, question mark?
How being, involved? Being there.
That should be the next one. How involved were they in the goal?
Geographic
expected
proximity.
Involvement.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Well, if you beat five men, lay it off, and then the other guy just taps it to the person or shoots it, rebounds off the keeper, and then you don't get the assist.
Everyone talks about Ozil.
Yeah.
Being great off the ball.
Absolutely. Were you heavily involved?
One of my favourite, I think it might have been the FA Cup goal, where Ben Arfa took it round every Blackburn footballer and then roofed it in the net. And it, all the while, Leon Bess is waiting for a pass. Yeah. It's like, you're not getting the pass, mate. No. You're not getting the pass. But he drew defenders away.
Do you think he, on the trot back to the half mile, do you think he sort of went, I was open there? I was open there.
Yeah, maybe he did. I don't know. But it was nice for Richard Duffy, Notts County captain, born in Swansea, given the man of the match, so playing against the side where he's from. But he took one in the face late on. That was a bad one. You know when someone gets hit with the ball and you think, oh, stop the play?
I've had it happen to me.
Have you?
Yeah, I got the ball volleyed in my face from about 2 yards away once.
Oh, no. Oof.
I don't think I was knocked out.
It's a stinger.
It wasn't great.
Yeah. I've chipped a tooth. I've still got a...
Chipped a tooth?
I've got a chipped tooth getting the ball booted in first.
Did the ball have spikes on it?
We were playing murder ball.
Yeah. I say ball, it was a brick.
Bloody hell. Coventry, they have made sure that League Two will be represented in the fifth round of the Cup. They beat League One MK Dons. It's a cup set, ladies and gentlemen.
Well, it's also because they knocked Stoke out. You want to see them keep going.
Yeah, they could be quite interesting, as you say. Knocked out Stoke, knocked out MK Dons. Who will fancy them in the Cup? Probably a few teams, because they are still League Two, but you get the picture.
I know we're about to go to the air break and we're going to stop talking about the FA Cup, but before we do that, can we just please have a mention for the challenge on Leroy Sané in the Cardiff Man City game?
I nearly put a picture on Twitter of that challenge, because as he goes in, he just leaps into it, doesn't he?
Yeah. Yeah.
Just jumping into the weekend like this. And I thought, because I was like, and then I looked out how long he's going to be out, I was like, yeah, probably not.
What, if I could put it to the floor here, uh-huh. What percentage...
Uh-huh. How heavily involved was he in it?
No. Yeah, well, yeah, sort of, but a bit of a different angle. How much of a percentage to blame is Neil Warnock in that challenge? Because you know what he said before the game.
Do you know what I am? I reckon after the game he probably said, oh, well, he went in like that. You know what it's like. No, it's a fair tackle.
He came out and said, Pep Guardiola essentially said to him, I'm paraphrasing, but he said, essentially said, it's English football, it's what you get.
No, he said, he's in England, what do you expect?
That's it,
I suppose when you're like that, you want everything to be nice, pretty and perfect, but you don't get that here, you get different challenges. That's what it wanted to do, with a different challenge.
It's like a Donald Trump alternative fact.
Yeah. I hate to be nitpicking, but it isn't England though, was it? It's in Wales.
Exactly, sort of unhelpful.
Yeah. Not only was he wrong... with the specifics, he's also morally wrong, I feel.
He loves the FA Cup, Neil.
Those tendons, I hate a rolled ankle.
We've all had one.
I hope Leroy Sané's okay.
Yeah. Yeah. He's a big miss for City, he's always been such a huge part of what they do. Yeah. I hope they've got the depth to cope.
I'm sure they will. Right, ladies and gentlemen, quick ad break, and then we're back to talk about Luke going to Fratton Park.
Are we?
Ooh.
I better go to Cashpoint and get some money, if I've got any money left.
The preview show, sponsored by Bet365, is out on Friday, ladies and gentlemen. It's going to be enormous. The Premier League is back. How did our better get on, Luke?
Rubbish, move on.
Okay. So we've got a new person in the hot seat coming up.
Yeah, show at thefootballramble.com if you want to get in touch with us for any reason, but if you want to suggest a best bet with Bet365, please do so, and we'll pick one for Friday's show.
Beautiful. Before we go to League One, League Two have got a fair old mention on the show. We're going to mention League One. But before we do, just quickly into the Championship, Mick McCarthy, for my money, may have coined a new term in football after Wolves beat Ipswich 1-0. When describing Wolves' style, he said, they make it very hard. It's a bit of parasite football. They can feed on our mistakes. I like that.
I've not heard it before.
I've not heard that before. If someone said that, if that is a common term in a faraway land or even a near land, I apologise. But parasite football, you know what he means.
Yeah.
Jose Mourinho likes to play a bit of parasite football.
And Wolves are animals, so they can be the hosts. Although he means Ipswich, I guess.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
Parasite football.
It's good.
Doesn't sound like a compliment.
No, it's not, is it? It's got connotations, I would say.
Indeed, yeah. But again, you can see what he's talking about there. Mm. I like that, Mick. Keep up the sometimes excellent work. Now,
there is zero chance Mick McCarthy even knows what a podcast is, let alone listen to it. It's not worth your time talking to Mick McCarthy direct through this medium.
He would call it a blog, repeatedly.
Yeah. I'll see you in the petrol station, Mick. Now, let's move on to League One. Chris Powell got a win in his first game in charge of South End.
The South.
I went to say Sunderland. Then I went to say Southampton. South End is the answer. South End United. He took over from Phil Brown. Of course, is Phil Brown still on gardening leave? He was put on gardening leave. He wasn't actually sacked.
It wasn't really, as far as
it's
I know.
A strange one.
And I have seen Southend play under Phil Brown this season. So I'm closer to it than you guys.
I think.
I'm sorry to say. I don't think it was ever a reason given. I think he was expected to pop up somewhere else, but I don't think he has. I assumed he would go and be an assistant for Big Sam or something, but it's not happened.
Is it gardening, Luke? Is he on sabbatical?
He's riding across the US on a motorbike.
Yeah, or he's on a cruise.
Yeah. Powell played for Southend, of course, for about 6 years in the 90s. Very popular among the fans, and he seems like a good egg, Chris Powell. We wish him all the best down there.
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
It would be nice to see him do very well. Now then, we move on to the main event from this whole podcast. Luke was at Fran Park. They lost 1-0 against Shrewsbury, which will please a friend of the Ramble, Murray James, of course.
Yeah.
Luke, not a classic. Why did you want me to include this in the
Because there was a really funny moment. There's a few kind of funny moments, as there always is. One, the referee, Mr. Reed Blayton, handball, and one man got so annoyed that he was ejected.
Wow. What was it? He was swearing, or was he getting...
With his 10-year-old son.
Good.
Nice.
Imagine the sort of behaviour you have to exhibit to be kicked out, physically kicked out of Fratton Park.
Because of what you're saying.
Yeah. So that was good.
But did his son go with him?
Yeah, he had to, didn't he? He could stand on his own, could he?
Well, he doesn't sound like the most responsible parent. Who knows?
His dad was literally like, come on.
Oh, I see. And he's like, oh, but my Uncle Tommy's here.
But anyway, Portsmouth weren't that good in the first half particularly, and they went into the break 1-0 down. In the second half, they started playing really well. Kenny Jackett made a couple of changes, and it worked.
Really well.
No, they did.
It didn't work, did it?
No, at that point, I'm putting you in the context.
Okay.
At that point, I was, I mean, I'm as pessimistic as they come, and you guys know that. But at that point, I thought, we're probably, not only are we going to equalise, we're probably going to win this game.
Okay.
We hit the crossbar, the keeper made two world-class saves, nailed on penalty, turned down. Anyway.
Got to take your chances.
But the point is, we were losing 1-0, but the feeling was quite good. And Christian Burgess, who plays at the back for Portsmouth, he's a centre back in League One, right? So he's not silky. He's just a centre back. Mm. But the feeling was quite good at the time because we were playing well. We're playing the ball out from the back, right? Christian Burgess gets the ball. The striker's coming in to close him down, and he just nutmegs him. Lovely old job. It was a lovely nutmeg, right? To the point that even though Portsmouth were losing, the fans went, "Ray!"
Yeah.
Apart from the one guy sat next to me who just got so pissed off with him doing a nutmeg, he went, "Oh, don't try that again, you fucking giraffe." Oh, it's brilliant.
Love
it. It's brilliant.
Lovely.
I couldn't laugh properly, though, because he was terrifying.
Yeah.
But it was very, very good.
Okay.
Anyway, we lost the game, so the joke's on us. I thought you might enjoy that.
The tactics work to a point. But yeah, wonderful. All right, then, Pete, you big old giraffe. It's time for Going for Glory.
Going for Giral. When they're going for
Lord.
Thank you very much to, get this, Juan Torres.
Oh, ooh, nice. Ooh.
Regen.
Stop. Is it Juan Torres?
Straight in with the first clue. I've got a mystery footballer. You've got to guess who it is. Born on the 1st of February, 1984.
Stop. Is it Jermaine Genus?
No.
Got to get out of the way.
Lightning. Got to get it out of the way. Yeah, absolutely.
1984, okay. Mm.
I was listed 13th on 442's 2001 list of young stars, ahead of Zlatan Ibrahimovic, Andres Iniesta, Chris Kirkland, Arjen Robben, Quaresma, Kaká and Mido.
Blimey.
Stop. Jose Marie.
No.
Okay. So I'll put it out there.
Stop. Danny Guisa.
No.
Jimmy, you want to have a little pop?
Go on,
have
Jimmy.
A pop,
Jimmy.
Have a little pop.
Have a pop
shot. Go on,
pop
Jimmy.
On my own terms. You miss 100% of the shots you don't take. Yeah. How's your luck, Jimmy?
And about 99 of the ones you do, based on this game.
All right, stop Pele.
I've made over 500 senior appearances for club and country.
So he's played.
Yeah, that's a good clue. Helpful clue. Thanks. Thanks, Juan.
Stop Royston Drenthe.
500 games.
Yeah, come
no
on.
Way.
All right.
No way, Marcus.
Will you ever go
Manamana.
I think Royston Drenthe is a rapper now.
Yeah, he might be. Yeah, I think that's right.
My international goals have come against Lithuania, Trinidad and Tobago, Slovenia, Faroe Islands, and the Czech Republic.
I really want to say stop Peter Crouch, but he's older than that, so it can't be him.
Stop Jermaine Defoe.
No.
He's older than that as well.
Yeah.
I once captained my national side at the age of 17, the youngest to do so since 1886.
Oof. Very good clue, that.
Mm.
Very, it helps me none, but very good.
I like the idea of this guy.
Yeah, he sounds excellent.
Yeah.
My trophy haul includes 5 Premier Leagues, 4 Community Shields, 2 League Cups, 1 FA Cup, 1 Champions League, 1 Club World Cup, and a Partridge.
And a Partridge. Stop. Ida Johnson.
Incorrect.
Oh, you were very confident.
I was thinking of Johnson, but at 5, you wouldn't have won 5, would he?
I'll tell you something, to the listeners there, Luke had his hand up. You know when a player's already celebrating before it goes in? That's what that was there.
I was desperate because I was terrified you were going to get it, that's why.
Can you read that one out again, Peter?
5 Premier Leagues, 4 Community Shields, 2 League Cups, 1 FA Cup, 1 Champions League, 1 Club World Cup.
It's definitely not a good Johnson, though.
No, good Johnson's not, older than 33. Oh, yeah. Or 34, whatever it would be.
We've only got one clue left.
Oh dear! Come on, Jim.
Oh dear,
Jim, you've always got to dig us out of a hole.
Wes Brown?
No.
If you know, captain England at 17.
Yeah, good point.
Oh, he hasn't, has he?
it's Wes Brown.
You've got to do the last clue.
Yeah, I'm just going to say stop because I'm now going to have a big old guess.
Go on.
I've just got to flame for time. In my
All right.
I've got nothing. Carry on.
Good. The final clue is I share my name with a broadcaster.
Ah.
Cheers.
That's not an easy clue either.
It's rude hot.
I think Jim's got it.
No.
I think I'm on the cusp of having it. If you just give me a second, just fill the time so it's not a terrible experience.
Was it 5 league titles or 5 Premier League titles? 5 Premier League titles.
5 Premier League titles.
It's got to be a Man United player.
Yeah, that's what I'm
It has to be.
His name with broadcaster.
Yeah. Oh, stop. Darren Fletcher.
It's Darren Fletcher.
Yeah. Well played. Yeah, well done.
Should have really moved on there, but we got there in the end.
I reckon I got that after 99% of all of our listeners.
Got him for gold.
Well, I'm still taking it.
Lord. Well played, Morsey.
Well done, mate.
I don't actually recognise or observe the broadcast of Darren Fletcher, so it's difficult for me.
Fucking giraffe. Right, ladies and gentlemen, that is the end of the Football Ramble this week. It's been a ruddy pleasure talking about the FA Cup and giraffes and Darren Fletcher. Get in touch, show@thefootballramble.com, of course. Jim, thank you very much. Goodbye.
You're welcome, mate.
Well done, Lukey.
See you later.
Well done, Petey.
Goodbye, Marcus.
And it's cheerio from me.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.